From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this show on Free Speech TV nationwide and also listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates. At a speech in Indianapolis, Indiana, President Donald Trump announced his tax plan that he promised was a, quote, once-in-a-generation opportunity that included the, quote, largest tax cut in our country's history. Here is some of what he had to say.
The current tax system is a colossal barrier standing in the way of America's economic comeback because it can be far greater than it's ever been. But we're going to remove that barrier to create the tax system that our people finally and want and deserve. For several months, my administration has been working closely with Congress to develop a framework for tax reform. Over the next few months, the House and Senate will build on this framework and produce legislation that will deliver more jobs, higher pay, and lower taxes for middle-class families, for the working man and woman, and for businesses of all sizes. Our framework is based on four key ideas. First, we will cut taxes for the everyday, hardworking Americans, the people that work so long, so hard, and they've been forgotten. But they're not forgotten anymore. I think we proved that on November 8th. Under this framework, the first $12,000 of income earned by a single individual will be tax-free. And a married couple won't pay a dime in taxes on their first $24,000 of income. So a married couple up to $24,000 can spend their money on their family, on their children, on what they have to do. So much better. In other words, more income for more people will be taxed at a rate of zero. At this 0% rate, taxable income will be subject to just three tax rates of 12%, 25%, and 35%. Those middle-income families will save even more money with an increased child tax credit for children under the age of 17, which so many families have been calling for.
And that's some of what Donald Trump had to say in Indianapolis at a speech where he unveiled some details of his tax plan. Among his reforms, Trump has promised to do away with the alternative minimum tax, which helps ensure wealthy Americans pay their fair share of taxes, and which forced Trump himself to pay out millions of dollars in taxes. Repealing the AMT would personally benefit him. His reform plan, which is short on details, also repeals a state and local tax exemption, which in some states would lead to a significant increase on middle-class taxes. Trump also wants to repeal the estate tax, a long target of the Republican Party, which he called, quote, crushing and horrible and unfair. Removing the estate tax would benefit fewer than 6,000 of the wealthiest Americans. Mr. Trump has apparently planned to push his plan through Congress so he can sign it into law by this December. My guest is Morris Pearl. He's the chair of the Patriotic Millionaires, which is a group of hundreds of high net worth Americans committed to progressive financial policies. Welcome to the program, Morris.
Thank you. Great to be in your show, Sonali.
So let's try to go through some of the aspects of Trump's tax plan, which, of course, in his language is going to be the best thing that Americans have ever come across. While there are many moving parts to this plan, there's not that many details. But in some of the broad strokes include the repealing of some specific taxes that target America's wealthy. So the alternative minimum tax is one of them. that we found out resulted in Trump himself some years ago having to shell out some millions of dollars in taxes.
Yeah.
He wants to do away with the alternative minimum tax. Doesn't that personally benefit him? Isn't that a little blatant?
Yeah, it is. That's just the way Mr. Trump is, as far as I can tell. He honestly believes that rich real estate developers should not pay taxes, that regular people should bear all the burden of the taxes for our country. The alternative minimum tax, for instance, called the AMT, was put into place years ago when people realized there were a bunch of rich people who were not paying any taxes at all because of all their deductions and loopholes and things. So Congress put into place a tax at a rate of around 20% that said, and that's when rates were much, much higher, and said, oh, no matter how many deductions you have to pay at least 20% of your income in taxes for the higher brackets. And Trump doesn't like that. He doesn't like the fact that even with all of his depreciation allowances and other deductions, that he still has to pay some taxes.
He described the AMT in this way. He said it's actually a shadow tax system that requires many people to calculate their taxes two different ways and pay the higher of the two amounts. You're all familiar with it, he's saying to the Farm Bureau where he was speaking yesterday, or rather on Thursday. Under our framework, the AMT will make even less sense because we are repealing many of the special interest tax breaks that it was designed to deal with. We are making our taxes simple again. We are simplifying our tax system. He actually gave the speech on Wednesday, sorry, not Thursday. So he calls it a shadow tax system. I mean, when he describes it in this way, of course, to his supporters, he sounds perfectly reasonable.
Well, yeah, I mean, you do. You have to calculate your taxes the regular way. And then if the AMT would require you to pay higher taxes, you have to pay those higher taxes. So I guess technically it's true. There's two different ways to calculate taxes, either with all of your deductions and loopholes multiplied by the regular rates, or without the deductions multiplied by the lower rate. So yeah, there's two different ways to do it. And yeah, if you're very rich under our system, and you have very high income, and you have very complicated affairs, yeah, it's a little bit complicated to calculate your income taxes. People like Mr. Trump and other wealthy people have made their affairs very complicated on purpose in order to take advantage of these loopholes. And then they sort of reverse the argument and they say, well, I don't want to be, in order to pay low taxes, I have to do all these really complicated things, and that's not fair. I should have low taxes just without having to do complicated things. And it's kind of a reverse argument because, first of all, they're taking advantage of loopholes and then complaining that it's difficult to take advantage of the loopholes.
The other tax, of course, which has long been a Republican target, is the estate tax. They like to call it the death tax. And this is what Trump had to say about it. He said, to protect millions of small businesses and the American farmer, we are finally ending the crushing, the horrible, the unfair estate tax, or as it is often referred to, the death tax. What is the so-called death tax, and why is it so crushing and horrible and unfair?
Well, it's crushing and horrible and unfair to multi-billionaires who don't want to pay taxes. The estate tax is the only tax that's ever paid by many of the wealthiest Americans. First of all, it's only paid, in fact, it's not even paid by the 1%. It's only paid by less than a quarter of the top 1% of people. Only people whose income just from inheriting money is over, only people who inherit over $10 million from their mother and father. That's not a lot of people. It's no farmers. I've yet to see any farmer who's paying estate tax because they have a farm that's worth over $10 million.
Actually, the Washington Post did an assessment of and a fact-checking of Trump's speech, and they estimated there would be about 5,500 beneficiaries of removing the estate tax. And they did find 80 out of those 5,500 taxable estates that you could count as farms or small businesses out of the 5,500. But of course, when Trump talked about it to his audience, he talked about it directly impacting them. He said, we are not going to allow the death tax to steal away the American dream from these great, great families, many of which are in this room today. I mean, I suppose it's possible that some of the 80 people who might potentially be affected were in that room on Wednesday, but probably not.
I would expect those farmers are the kind of farmers who own vineyards on the hills above Sonoma, California, not the kind of farmers who are in the Midwest in the United States. But putting that aside, the estate tax we have is the only tax paid by many of the richest people in America. Hmm. People like the Sam Walton heirs, Sam Walton built a business, made billions and billions of dollars, doing a great job. When his four children and son-in-law inherited that business, neither Sam Walton nor the business nor anyone else ever paid any tax on the huge increase in value that he made from zero to the billions of dollars that business, the Walmart stores were worth when he died. The only tax they ever pay is an estate tax or taxes on money they make after the death of their patriarch. Hmm. So they want to have people who may inherit huge fortunes pay no taxes at all, ever. Not taxes when the fortune is made by their parents, not taxes when they inherit it, not taxes when they sell it. They want to pay no taxes at all, ever, on some of the great American fortunes. And what they want to do is establish an oligarchy where some families, like the Waltons, like the Trumps, like the Forrest Mars families, are just rich forever. And the rest of us have to pay all of the burdens for running the country. I don't think that's fair. I don't think that's good.
He also has called for repealing the tax deduction for state and local taxes. This is an interesting one. It's a little bit complicated, and apparently it's most valuable. Keeping this tax in place would be most valuable in mostly blue states like New York and New Jersey. In those states, taxpayers would end up being, you know, having to shell out, this middle class taxpayers would end up being having to shell out thousands of dollars in new taxes. How do you explain this state and local tax deduction? Because of course our taxes are complicated, and some of it, there's a reason why some of them are complicated, but what is this exactly that Trump wants to repeal?
Yeah, Congress has decided that one of your tax deductions, along with your charitable donations, is taxes you pay to your local government. That should be deducted from your income tax and be a deduction. That's something that lots of people take advantage of. Almost everyone who lives in New York pays New York state income tax. I mean, almost everyone who earns a living, who earns money in New York, pays New York state income tax. And that's something a lot of people take advantage of. And it's something that doesn't really affect the rich any more than anyone else. It affects pretty much everyone. So they want to get rid of that. They want to keep deductions for things like interest on municipal bonds being tax-free. There's really only very wealthy people can buy municipal bonds and earn interest on them that way. So it's yet another way of shifting the tax system to take away advantages from common people and give more advantages to the very wealthiest among us.
Now, Trump's main tax advisor, Gary Cohn, former Goldman Sachs executive, did an interview with George Stephanopoulos about the tax plan. And he straight up, George Stephanopoulos asked him if this particular tax plan would end up costing some middle class families a greater amount of taxes. And Mr. Cohn just couldn't admit that. I mean, he basically said there might be some families for whom, middle class families for whom taxes would increase. When he asked Gary Cohn, will the wealthy get a tax cut or not? Gary Cohn straight up said the wealthy are not getting a tax cut under our plan. Aren't those pretty straightforward lies?
Yes. I mean, I have a great deal of respect for Mr. Cohen. I know him slightly. His daughter and my son were once classmates in school. And I hope that I would hope to have some other way of describing what he said other than using the word lying, but I can't think of any right now. I'm sure he honestly thinks that what's good for him is good for the country. And, I don't really have any explanation for that.
So let me repeat again. He said the wealthy are not getting a tax cut under our plan. Meanwhile, the Center on Budget and Policy Priorities released their rough analysis, because the plan itself is rough, of the plan. And they found that a stunning 80% of the so-called tax relief in Trump's plan would go to households in the top 1% income bracket. So the entire tax plan is skewed towards benefiting the 1%, but Mr. Cohn said the wealthy are not getting a tax cut under our plan. I mean, if you repeal the estate tax, that's a tax cut on the wealthiest Americans, right?
Yeah, the estate tax only affects the wealthiest Americans. The AMT only affects people in the high tax brackets. Lowering the top rate from 39% to whatever they said, 30 something lower, that only affects people in the top bracket. Most of the people in the top bracket could see their taxes decrease by millions and millions and millions of dollars. And of course, the people in the lower incomes can't possibly get that much of a benefit because they don't pay that much taxes to begin with. So yeah, almost all of the benefit is going to those people who are the most well off among us.
Now,
that seems clear.
Let's also talk about the corporate tax rates that Trump wants to reduce. Republicans and Trump have long sold this idea that American corporations have to pay some of the highest taxes in the world. But of course, they're looking at the tax rates on paper and not the many loopholes that corporations do take advantage of. How would Trump's tax plan, as far as you understand, benefit corporations, which of course he sells to the public as benefiting small businesses? Small businesses is always the sort of code word for wealthy businesses.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, what really gets me is they've been complaining for years about these businesses that earn money through their overseas affiliates. And first they claim, oh, we have to get them to bring this money back to the United States. Well, frankly, most of it's in the United States now. It's invested in American businesses and stocks and bonds. It's just investment accounts owned by the Irish affiliates of all these corporations. So a huge amount of investment in the United States is in the name of things like Apple's affiliates in Ireland and Starbucks affiliates in Ireland. Secondly, their answer to stopping this bad behavior is to simply make the tax rate zero on that income. And yeah, it's true, if you eliminate all taxes on income from overseas affiliates, well, there won't be any reason, there won't be a problem with people doing it anymore because they won't pay any taxes at all. But it will simply encourage even more shifting of income and profits overseas. Currently, a company like Starbucks can claim that its income is earned overseas because they've created an affiliate in another country and say, oh, the logos are owned by that affiliate. We have to pay a fee for use of the logos on the cups company, and therefore, we don't really make any profits here. All of our profits are there. And what they simply want to do is say, oh, but we don't have any way to make these people stop doing this, so we'll just make the rules even easier and charge them no taxes at all. And just that will simplify matters, but it's just unfair to say that there's only a few dozen of these companies that do this a lot, 50 or 100 at most. And it's just saying that these largest companies will get such an advantage over the actual small businesses that are not multinational. And it just seems so unfair to me to give this huge advantage to this small number of multinational companies that's not being given to all of the companies that are actually in the United States.
Hmm. Well, Treasury Department's one-page description of Trump's unified tax plan, at the very bottom is a two-line description under the heading of brings profits back home. And this is how Trump's government says it would do it. The framework brings home profits by imposing a one-time low tax rate on wealth that has already accumulated overseas so that there is no tax incentive to keeping the money offshore. So how do you explain that to somebody who is upset? I mean, many ordinary Americans are upset that corporations do get to keep their money, some of their profits in offshore tax havens.
Well, I would say, do you think the answer should be to simply not tax money at all from offshore tax havens, or to tax money earned in offshore tax havens the same way taxes earned in the United States are taxed?
That would be a better incentive for not having money offshore.
Yeah, most people, I think, would say, oh, all of the money they earn should be taxed the same way, whether it's earned here or earned somewhere else. I think that's what most people would answer.
Now, the individual tax rate is also something that Trump wants to simplify. He says he wants to shrink the current 7 tax brackets into 3, 12%, 25%, and 35%. And then he's saying Congress can basically create a top rate for the highest income taxpayers. What's the problem with this? What's the problem with simplifying and reducing the number of tax brackets?
Well, I've always believed that people who make more money should have higher tax rates than people make less money. And that's why we've had multiple tax brackets. And I think more than 3 is perfectly fine. I think what he's planning to do is raise the tax rates on the lowest people and lower the tax rates on the highest earning people. And I think that's going in the wrong direction. I think that people at the highest bracket should have their taxes higher, not lower, and people at the lowest bracket should have their taxes lower. I think if you lower the tax to people at the bottom brackets, the people who make $30,000 and $40,000 and $50,000 a year, they're actually going to spend that money, and that's what's going to help our businesses do well. Lowering taxes to people who are the top brackets, people who make $500,000 and $1 million a year, they're just going to increase their savings, which is fine, but that's not what helps the economy grow. So I believe we should have a more progressive tax system, and Mr. Trump believes we should have a less progressive tax system.
I mean, it's amazing to see a person who emerges from the top earning class in this country craft a plan that would directly benefit him and the fellow members of his class. And I'm wondering, Morris, I'd love to end this conversation with you on a discussion of how the Republican Party and Trump sells these ideas to their base, many of whom are ordinary or even low-income Americans, as if these tax plans will benefit them when facts show that it won't benefit them.
Well, I mean, I think that they will do it by labeling the facts as fake news and trying to demonize the actual news media that's promulgating these facts. And I think they'll do it by actually believing that they, because of their success, they deserve to not have to pay any taxes. You know, they honestly believe it. And it's sad. You know, like Leona Helmsley said, it's only the little people that pay taxes. And I just believe that they think that they're so special, they should be exempt from having to pay taxes.
Trump on Twitter even said he basically excoriated Democrats for not necessarily supporting his tax plan. He said, Democrats don't want massive tax cuts. How does that win elections? Great reviews for tax cut and reform bill. It's kind of amazing that he just kind of came right out and said that he's doing this to win elections.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know what to tell you about winning elections. I don't believe that saying you're going to lower the taxes for the very richest among us is the way to win elections. At least I certainly hope not.
Well, Morris, give out a website for Patriotic Millionaires where people can find out more information about your organization.
PatrioticMillionaires.org. Take a look at PatrioticMillionaires.org and feel free to join up. There's a button in the upper right to join the Patriotic Millionaires on PatrioticMillionaires.org.
And we'll post a link to that from our site later today. Morris, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you so much, Sonali. It's great to be in your show.
My guest is Morris Pearl. He's a chair of Patriotic Millionaires. It's a group of hundreds of high net worth Americans committed to progressive financial policies. We've been discussing Trump's new tax plan. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also find us on Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, and Vimeo.